Thank you all for being here today. It's my lesson. Thank you for being patient. I had a switch up with Lisa. Thank you so much, Lisa, for covering last Sunday's class while we were in camping. Which a treat. Thank you. So today I will be talking about brotherly love, but before we do that, Sister Lisa, can you help us with a prayer?
Of course. Let's pray together. Dear God and Father, we thank you so much for another day to be living. We thank you for this time that we can come together as sisters and as as wives and as mothers. And please help us to empty our thoughts and our minds and to just focus on what Hope is saying and to really let it impact our lives, Lord, all the lessons from this summer so that we can be better servants of yours. We thank you for our physical blessings like our homes and our cars and our jobs and our family. And we ask that you please to always remember not to take these things for granted. And we thank you especially for our spiritual blessings, Lord, the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the love that you bestow. And we ask that you help us in turn to have grace and mercy, brotherly kindness, hospitality, all these attributes that we've been talking about and extending those to not only our brothers and sisters, but to our communities and to people that we meet. We thank you for your son who died on the cross, Lord, so that we can have a home in heaven with you. And we ask that you always help us to keep our lights trimmed and to always be ready for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a bag with keychains going around. Please grab one. If for some reason we run out of those, I have some more in here. It has a scripture on it. I hope you like it. As a little thing that you guys might not know about me, when I was in school, in middle school or elementary school, I used to collect keychains. So that's one thing that I like to share with you guys. So the topic is brotherly love. And because it's, we're going to shrink that title to sisterly love for just a second so we can identify ourselves a little bit more with the title. Sometimes, even though brotherly love means everyone, since it's a lady class, just for this moment, we'll call it sisterly love. And so at the beginning of this year, a lady on her Facebook posted up a reel. Some of you might not know what it is, but it's like on her Facebook, she wrote a question. She asked a question about, what are some of the bad habits among Christian women? And there was a lot of interesting answers. So would you guys like to take a guess? What could it be, one of the bad habits among us as Christian women?
Gossip.
Right. Anybody else want to take a guess? Yes.
Criticism?
Yep. So among those, there was judging others. Here it can be many reasons why, unfortunately, we judge each other. It's like the most typical one is like, I homeschool, your kids go to public school. I did clad diapers. You're using disposable diapers. There was a joke about how do you know a mom using cloud diapers? It's just like, don't worry, she will tell you, right? So there's many reasons why, unfortunately, we judge each other, even though we don't want to, but it's like, oh, you're doing this, oh, you're doing that. But we need to remember we're sisters in Christ, and we need to come. We need to get rid of those bad habits, which we'll get in a minute. So there was judging, gossiping, offering unsolicited counseling. Anybody in there? Rushing into rescue into for a situation. Sometimes our schedule is fully booked. Sometimes we feel very tired, but because there's a need, we feel that it's our responsibility to fix that or to make it, the struggle make it disappear. So in that, we just need to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes when a person is going through hard times and we want to rush in and say, oh, but he's suffering or she's suffering, sometimes we need to take a step back and say, are we interceding or interfering between the between that person and God? Because sometimes we need to find the bottom in order to go up. And if we get in the middle of that, that person might not be helped by God as he wants us to. Did that make sense? Yes? Okay, thank you. So after that is being more passionate in public about other topics besides our religion, besides Christ. There was some, we talk about Target, Starbucks, and all that, how some people are boycotting those companies. But it's not just about forcing Target to follow Christian beliefs. We know that Target is not a Christian company. So what we need to do is help the companies that we know are Christians, like In-N-Out, like other companies that Chick-fil-A, like we know that they have our values, and then not just saying, oh, we're gonna stop going there. It's like we're helping this, and by helping these companies, we're helping our that company to increase on revenues, and because they have the same belief, that goes to the good funds that we want for our for the people that we want to support. And sometimes just posting on Facebook is not enough, because people can just swipe, keep going, swiping, but it just stays there in your phone. We need to be outspoken about Christ, about our religion, about our beliefs, not just, oh, I took a picture of my coffee and I posted on my social media. Yes?
I think what you're saying, like, it's like we know that's a good thing to do, but like in reality, like that's a really hard thing to do, right?
Right.
For so many reasons. But I think that one good thing about all of that is like trying to find some way in, you know, not just like all of a sudden like getting on a soapbox about Jesus, but you know, whatever it may be, like a health situation you're going through or a struggle that you're facing, like just being vulnerable and just like kind of like you know, dropping breadcrumbs, like,
yes,
I'm getting through this with my faith, or like I'm praying about this, or the Lord is good to me, whatever it is, can kind of just be like a little breadcrumb dropped that you just never know how that might bring about more conversations.
Right. Yeah. Completely. Yes. Thank you. So after that, it's deleting ourselves. Sometimes we say we're our enemy. So in that, we need to remember that we need to reflect that we are created in God's image. We're saved by his sacrifice. We're saved by the sacrifice of his son and being sacrificed by his Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're going through some stages in our lives and we're like, we're looking in the mirror and we don't recognize ourselves because life has changed. And we need to remember that, as we said, as I said before, we're created in God's image. And with this, can somebody read Psalms 139:14? Lisa, you have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
139:14, right?
Yes.
Okay. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well.
So we need to remember this verse anytime we're harsh on ourselves. So instead of saying, oh, look at me, what happened to my hair? What happened to my body? It's like God created us on his image. And at the bottom line is, this body stays here. When we go to heaven, we're not taking any of it. So the other bad habit was refusing to get real. Many times as we come to church, we say, hey, how are you doing? Or how are you feeling today? And just as by custom, or like, we say, oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. But we're not real with ourselves. I don't know if you know, but back when I had Caleb, I went through postpartum depression, and it was very bad. And my therapist said, you need to share it. The more you share your problem, the less heavy it becomes on you. So I know I was not the only one going through that. Just for me was, I thought, I heard about postpartum depression, and I thought it was just physical. I was like, I'm gonna love my body. I don't mind extra pounds. But it was not just physical, it was all the chemicals and hormones in my brain. So the moment I started sharing it, I found a good group of moms through a workout program, and I found that I was not the only one. And that helped to ease the load, and that helped me to be out of postpartum for like in a year. I was like, I like this. So we need to be real with each other. Sometimes we're struggling with groceries. Sometimes our kids are not sleeping through the night. Sometimes our husbands are having some struggles, and we're here to support each other. We're not just here to sit next to each other every Sunday morning or Wednesday night and pretend that everything is fine, because sometimes it's not. Yes.
I think we really need to sit with that comment for a minute. Because I think that is really the crux and the core of it. It's just so important. We are supposed to be here for each other. And mm-hmm. I think that goes back to the first thing was judging each other, right? This mm-hmm. needs to be a safe place. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not safe, that's where you get the, I'm fine, everything's fine. Put your smile on and go home and suffer. It needs to be safe. We need to have compassion on each other. Mm-hmm. My problem is going to be different than your problem. Doesn't mean that I cannot have compassion. It's not, oh, I don't have that problem. It's more of that compassion for what that person's going through. I think that's really, like, that topic alone could encompass your whole class, because
right.
it's so important.
Yes.
And that is why God gave us each other.
Right. And to learn to trust each other, to know that this is a safe place where we can share, where we can. And it's not just when something is going bad. It's also when we can share each other, and like share for each other when something is going good in a good way, right? Okay, so like we were saying, the body of Christ is meant to be a family. Can you imagine Eve being the only woman in the world and her family being just her husband and the two kids, and then just one, and then another one. But not having a shoulder to share, or a person to go and grab some coffee or tea or something. So God wants us to have this community. We have it here. Let's not take it for granted. So now that I have shared the bad habits, we need to find good habits to replace it with. There has been some studies that said that it takes approximately 66 days for a bad habit to be replaced with a good habit, and that good habit become automatic. So it's like you need to try it, get up in the morning for 60 days until that comes up automatic. So there were some cards passing. Do you all have pens? Do you need a card?
We have a couple extra pens.
Just raise your hand if you don't have a card. So we're going to make, just stay where you are at. You don't have to change seats, but let's make it a group of five. Ladies, five or four. And then we're going to discuss on the other side what could be good habits that we can replace those bad habits that I talked about, which is judging, gossiping, offering unsolicited counseling, rushing into rescue, being more passionate about other things rather than Christ, belittling ourselves and refusing to get real. How we can replace those bad habits with good ones. And you get extra points if you find a Bible verse that can help you with that. All right, thank you. So we're making groups of five.
Yeah.
More time to discuss? Are we almost done? Yes? Okay. Does anybody want to be first with sharing good habits? Okay. Donna?
Well, my group was with these three young, charming ladies and myself. And I decided to just wait and see if they had any ideas. I mean, they're so young. What can they do? They had fabulous ideas for gossiping. It was redirect, compliment instead, you know, don't listen. What is it? Internal reflection when it happens. That was. But she said, how could you catch yourself if you don't recognize what's happening inside you? You. And if you. So if you recognize what's happening inside you, then it's easier to counteract it. See, they suggested practicing compassion, sort of always, for gossiping or judging or any of those things. And we talked a little bit about holding grudges.
We don't.
And somebody said to try to ask yourself, is this going to matter?
Right.
Down the line, years from now. Would Jesus hold a grudge against somebody?
Right.
And so it was very enlightening, and I have lots more faith in the coming generation.
Nice. Anybody else? Oh, did you get a scripture?
No, we didn't work on that.
Okay, minus 500 points. Okay, anybody else? Yes.
Talked about instead of gossiping, praying for others, praying for whatever their struggle is and getting to know them better. She brought up a good point about giving people the benefit of the doubt and guiding more towards good instead of what's wrong.
Yes.
Practicing more hospitality and what else did we talk about? Acts of service, trying to be helpful instead of judging.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did you get a scripture?
I did not.
Okay.
We did not.
So there's one that, does anybody want to read Matthew 22:37-39?
From 37 to 39. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And here we come back to talk that we are created in God's image. So we need to love our neighbor as ourselves because God created us in his image, right? So there's no judging towards, there should be no judging or reason to judge others, right? Okay, another group? Yes.
We came up with a verse that kind of goes along with that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Nice. Thank you.
We have one too.
Eh?
We have one too. I'm just getting in the practice of thinking the best of others. I think it's really a practice.
Yes.
And the verse we had was Philippians 2:1-3, where it says, consider others better than yourself.
Philippians 2:1-3.
Mm-hmm.
And what good habits you guys came up with?
Oh, that was the only one I was sharing.
Oh, nice.
We got a little sidetracked. thinking of others better than yourself.
Right.
Training your mind.
And that's, yes, Melissa?
Oh, no, you finish your thought and then.
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, in our group, is rooted in not really knowing. Like when you gossip, you don't really know what's happening in someone's life. You just think you know.
Right.
So you actually put yourself in the place of God. You think you know what's happening in their life. You think you know their motives. And then you know, judge them for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you actually sit down and listen with somebody, you're taking the gossip part out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you're actually hearing what the real story is. What are they struggling with?
Right.
What is wrong? Why are they having these issues? But sometimes it's just easier to gossip because you can just make up whatever you want about them.
Right.
But truly listening takes your time, your effort, goes back to hospitality. There's so many things that are that go along with that. But the verse I found was James 1:19, where James was calling us to be swift to hear,
mm-hmm.
so swift to listen. That's why we have two ears,
mm-hmm.
and then slow to speak and slow to linger.
Right. And there's another thing that when we're listening, we're not talking. It's because when it's easier to talk than to listen. There's a saying, you talk yourself out of the problem, but how many times do we say, you listen yourself out of the problem? So it's more of listening and clearing our minds and really listen, not just hearing, listen for all the details. And sometimes when we're going through hardship, like back to the judging, rushing to give up an answer or counseling, sometimes that person, they just need to vent. They don't need anything else. They need that person to be by their side just to listen. And that's all. And we can fix a lot of problems by just listening. Yes?
This is an odd example that came up this week. I work with a guy. His gecko, a 15 years guy, his gecko Larry. And he was telling me about it. He said, I had some really good conversations with Larry over the years. And he said, he didn't do a lot of talking, but he was a great listener. And I thought, that really struck me. You know, sometimes we just need people to listen or someone to listen, you know?
Yeah, yes. Meredith and Dindana.
One thing we talked about in our group to that point was not, sometimes maybe just ask, like, are you looking to vent or, you know, are you wanting me to weigh in? Just so that way you're kind of, like, controlling yourself and sometimes your need or your desire to, like, try to offer unsolicited advice, but ask that person what they might need right now.
Right.
And then for us, if we're needing to vent, it's okay to say the same thing, like, I'm not looking for advice, I'm just wanting to vent.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be better at kind of defining expectations. Sometimes.
Right. How many times have we share our problems with our husbands and our husbands come up with a solution? It's like, no, that's not what I needed. I just needed to talk. Done.
Oh, there was a big study trying to figure out which form of therapy worked better. And they took some college students with no training at all and told them all they needed to do was listen. And nod and let people know that they were listening. And quite a few people got better just having somebody listen to them. With no form of therapy, no advice, nothing. Just because you're using two parts of your brain when you're talking about your problem. You're trying to organize your problem so the other person will hear it and understand it. And when you organize the problem, you go, oh, years ago when Lou was working in accounting, he would come and tell me what the problem was, and then he would say, oh, I figured out what I need to do. And he'd walk away and say, thank you. And I'd go, sure.
Happy to help. okay, so how about on this side? Who else? The groups? Who else want to share? Yes.
We talked about good gossip, complimenting each other, and doing no harm to people. the verse that we were talking about is Romans 12, verse 2, where we're talking about how it starts in the heart,
mm-hmm.
what we say and what we do,
mm-hmm.
and how we need to replace those thoughts and renew our mind
mm-hmm.
to be able to produce the good habits.
Right. Yes. Do you want to read that scripture?
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Right. So, and then that, for me, it, my brain was just like, likes to think that way. There's a problem. What's the root of the problem? Before fixing anything else, you need to find the cause. What's causing it? So it can stop, and then you handle the rest. So that's why we start with I liked it starting with the bad habits, recognizing what's wrong, knowing that we're doing wrong, and then replacing it with the good one. So that, and like Meredith said, we just need to train our minds so we can do it again one day and then another game and then another game. As of myself, I started a couple, maybe it was last year. Lana said, when I want to lose weight, I like to pray to God to help me to lose weight. And I was like, I don't know about that. But I was not giving God the credit. And by praying about the food that I'm eating, my body absorbing all the nutrients, I'm not gonna go out and just buy junk food like the French fries. What nutrients does a French fry have? Very little. But it's like I wanna pray for my food that is good and healthy. And that gives me like more focus in what I put into my body. But that just me. You don't have to do it.
It's free.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I was going to say, you bring up a great point. I mean, that's awesome. But really the fundamental point that's being made there is that your heart, everything's attached to what you're doing. So are you praying every day?
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the Word every day? Even just whatever little snippet, like creating that habit, because it really does make a difference. And I feel so cliche saying that because I remember being younger, sitting in classes like this, and you'd have women get up and like, okay, you know, you pick a habit, and you'll be praying every day, and you'll be reading every day. And I don't know, when you're younger, you just don't make those connections, which I didn't, just speak for myself. And lo and behold, they're exactly right.
Yeah.
And when you're in it and you're making it a part of your life every day, it is amazing. How much you grow and how much you can tweak those bad habits.
Mm-hmm. Right. And once you start, you have it, it becomes, after 3 months, more or less, it becomes automatic, and you just put the toothpaste where it should be, the toothbrush where it should be, and you don't notice because it is automatically. So if we do that with a physical world, why not with our heart and our spiritual mind with God, right? Anybody else want to? Yes.
I just have a lot of things we've been talking about. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And I don't know, like there's just one, I think it's great that there's this plan for us together. And then it ends by saying, because the has great power as it is working. Like it's not like, and it might work, or like maybe something will happen. Like it is working.
Yes.
And I just think of times where like people have prayed for me and just the, I don't know, just the, so many effects that had. Even just like when I was here and I had a job interview, like Lily made it a point to like come grab me, and she's like, hey, let's just say a really quick prayer before you go do this. And it just had such an impact on just like my overall demeanor and how I felt. And, you know, and I didn't ask her, like, hey, can you pray for me? Like, she just knew, like, that is a good thing to do, so.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with asking either. And it takes us back to the point that we need to be real what our struggles can be and just reaching out. We're here for each other. Anybody else? Jen, do you share with your group?
We mostly talked a lot about listening and the same thing that other people brought up about being an active listener. And we also talked about how sometimes, going back to what Stephanie was talking about with creating those safe relationships, sometimes we have to be willing to open up about the bad parts first.
Mm-hmm.
Because when other people hear us be vulnerable, then they are more willing to as well. And I shared with them that, like, after about 6 months into what I'm going through and when I shared it with the congregation, so many people said, like, I've had a really hard time in my marriage. I've had this happen. I've had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going forward, I want to try to be open about that stuff because sometimes it's helpful when you hear it as you're going through it and not when you're coming out of it.
Yes.
So I think the more we need to be willing to share that stuff as well, and that helps people feel safe to open up to.
Right. Because when we don't share it, we're stuck in that bubble thinking that we're the only ones going through that and that nobody else went through it. So
and that's what Satan wants.
Yeah.
Satan wants you to feel alone. Satan wants you to be wallowing in your misery because then, like, you're not being the kind of godly warrior that you could be otherwise.
Right.
Like, when we start to get in that, I mean, that nothing delights Satan more than having you feel like isolated and alone and like drowning in your sorrow.
Right. Yes. And like there's a saying, together we conquer, divided we fall. So we need to, yes, Lily?
The other thing I just thought about, because I saw McKenna's beautiful face and it reminded me of it, was that you miss out on opportunities. The reason I bring her up is because when the Lemuses were here, they got super involved with the teens, and I never thought myself having a connection with teenagers. I'm like, I'm a young adult, teenagers, love. I met McKenna, and I love her. I have, since then, like, she's an awesome person, and I have so much respect for teenagers because of that. Because I opened up, like, I shared with her what I was going through. I would have never thought of doing that.
Right. And takes us back to judging, right? Sometimes we, our appearance, we like to judge by their appearance and say, oh no, they're too perfect. But we don't know what's going behind doors or with their mind and their hearts. Okay, before we go, I would like you guys to write on the back of your card a prayer where you're going to fill out the blank. So you're going to start writing a prayer that says, or this is just a suggestion. Father in heaven, help me to be kind and to be the kind of a woman who can, and then you fill up the blank. What are your, what would you like to work on as a woman, as to become more involved with our sisterhood? And then you're going to follow it by what actions you're going to take. So let's go back to the beginning. Father in heaven, help me to be a kind of woman who can. And then you fill out the blank. By the actions. With. And then. In Jesus' name, amen. Then you can have this in your purse. You can have this above your microwave or in your fridge. Have it, or in your mirror, in your bathroom. Have it access so that it can remind you. A lot of people do like a picture board. What is it called? where they can they put their goals that they want to achieve, and just by seeing them, it reminds them, oh yeah, I'm working towards this. So let's have it as a reminder in our purse, on our Bible, in the fridge, on the fridge, in the bathroom. And Meredith, would you like us to do a closing prayer?
Dear Lord, we come to you humbly today, thanking you for this time. We thank you for your spirit working in Hoka and how she's led this class today. And may we take the things that we've talked about and truly put them into practice, not just hearing these words, but putting them into action, because that's what love is. You've shown us through your word that love is doing, and we have a lot of work to do to be the kind of loving people that you desire. Thank you for your son, the ultimate demonstration of love. We thank you for his death, and we thank you for being a promise keeper that one day we know we can be with you in heaven. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. And then for those, I passed down a keychain. If you didn't get one, please, I have some more here.